From the Southeast Asian capital city of the Philippines, Manila, good afternoon. For most of you across the United States, well, good evening, good morning, whatever the time of day may be, it really doesn't matter. I'm Art Bell, and this is Coast to Coast AM. It is my honor and privilege to be filling in for somebody. On Sundays, I really don't know who it would be. George, perhaps. Ian? The other George? I'm not sure. Somebody. Anyway, I'm here. And that's great. And that's actually amazing. We'll talk a little bit about that. Anyway, from that intro, you can probably safely conclude that, yes, we are back on the other side of the world yet again. All the way over here in Southeast Asia. I don't know how many of you really understand where we are. You might crank out a world map and take a look. We're sort of a hop, skip, and a jump from a lot of places, like Vietnam, would be our closest neighbor. Most of the typhoons that come through here continue on to Vietnam or on up to Hong Kong. Hong Kong's about, an hour and a half hop by plane, something of that order. So we're down here at, this end of the world. Why? Well, there were some family issues, property stuff we have to decide about, and some just plain fun, and then some other big issues I'll talk to you about on Friday. All the ABs are well. Asia, in fact, little Asia, will celebrate her second birthday on the planet with a big party at Jollibee. Jollibee. Jollibee is the McDonald's of the Philippines. And all the kids here love it, Asia being no exception. That'll be on May 30th. She'll be 2 years old on May 30th. Now, as you know, I'm pretty much of a techno geek. But, God, it is impressive to me to do a long-form talk show like this from the other side of the world, the other side of the world from most of you. It's incredible, actually. When I last returned to the States, I had an opportunity to hear some of the shows I did from here in the Philippines, and I was unable to discern the difference in the quality of the audio at all. It was as if I were there in the high desert doing the program, and I really couldn't tell the difference, so I just think that's nothing short of absolutely astounding. Even for somebody kind of technically into things as I am, it's astounding. I wish I could describe with words, but I can't, what a different world it is here. If you ever have a chance to travel in your lifetime, do it. Take it from me, do it. Now, if you're in the U.S. and you go to Europe, you're going to see really echoes is an inappropriate term of America. In other words, when you're in Europe, particularly, of course, in Great Britain and for that matter, the other European nations as well, you're going to see echoes of America. And it's really kind of a backwards way to put it because, of course, America is really an echo of Europe since we are in America quite a bit younger than Europe. And so many came from Europe. So when you go to Europe, you will see, even though you're going to be in a different environment with people perhaps speaking a different language, you're still going to see things that are kind of familiar to you. If you come to Asia, you're walking into a completely new world. Everything is different. And I mean everything. The buildings, the way things are done, the way people act, the customs, the mores, just everything. Everything it's like walking into a new world in Asia. So if you ever have the opportunity to do it, by all means, folks, definitely do it. So here we are, other side of the world again, looking briefly at the news. President Obama calling for understanding. He was apparently at Notre Dame, gave a speech, and he said, even though the differences between those of us who are pro-abortion, those of us who are anti-abortion, would appear to be irreconcilable. He wants to see, I don't know what he wants to see. Once you say something is irreconcilable, I'm not sure what you ask for. In his case, he talked about open hearts, open minds, fair-minded words. And I don't know how you do that with abortion. I don't have a clue. And I'm not sure he does. I don't think anybody does, because there is, it's so, he had it right, irreconcilable that there are no words that don't turn angry and upset when you discuss that subject. A school principal who was sick for several days with swine flu on Sunday has now become the nation's first death, other than that Mexican boy, linked to the virus, and actually the nation's sixth. Michael Weiner, who worked at an intermediate school in Queens, died Sunday evening at Flushing Hospital Medical Center. Now, they're suggesting that complications besides the virus very likely played a part in his death. Hard to say. A seasoned Democratic political operative will guide President Obama's eventual Supreme Court nominee on Capitol Hill, where the Senate's top Republican on Sunday refused to rule out a filibuster. Stephanie Cutter, expected to leave her job as an advisor to Treasury Secretary Geithner and move right next door to the White House. Well, it looks like Pakistan is now going to be the place for war, huh? Pakistani security forces fought Taliban militants on the outskirts of the main city in the northwest's Swat Valley, entered two other Taliban-held towns there, foreshadowing what could become a bloody urban battle. Nobody wants to see that. Spacewalkers, specially designed tools, simply could not dislodge a bulky bolt, which apparently is interfering with repairs at the Hubble Space Telescope. I hope they get it working. So they took an approach more familiar to putting and puttering around down on Earth, brute force, and it worked. But it set spacewalkers so far behind they couldn't get all their tasks done. So hopefully the Hubble will be repaired. There was great controversy about whether or not to repair the Hubble at all. Well, you want a good deal? At 789 Chrysler lots all across America sit 44,000 potential bargains. Cars and trucks that are stuck between shell-shocked dealers and a troubled company that no longer wants their services. The dealers have simply just now a few weeks to sell the Chryslers, Dodges, and Jeeps, or risk losing thousands of dollars on them. Giving people, any of you out there who want a really serious deal, a chance for a really serious deal. All right, we're going to break here in a moment, and then I'm going to review some other news. I want to remind the audience that even here on this side of the earth, I have Fast Blast available, and will do my very best to answer your questions and or, if appropriate, read your Fast Blast if you want to send one. And following a little additional news, we'll go to open lines. Unscreened open lines. I will simply take calls as they come in, which means you allow the lines to just ring. Let them ring and ring and ring. And if I don't answer, you have not cost yourself a penny. So that's the way we do it when I'm on the air. I just let the lines ring. I'll give out the numbers here in a bit. So in a moment, back with a little more news. Stay right where you are. All right, at the top of the hour, we're going to be speaking with Peter Ward, Professor Ward, that is, and he's going to be talking about the state of the earth and things ecological, that sort of thing. And I kind of wanted to mention that here in the Philippines, I've been here going on, a couple of months now, and it's summertime here. Summertime is, middle of March until perhaps the very first part of June. So we're in summertime right now. And virtually every day, save at best two or three days, we have had clouds every day, cloud cover every day. Yes, we've had a couple of tropical, you know, storms and one typhoon, I think. But that aside, we've had cloud cover every day, and that's not normal. That's very abnormal indeed. So something strange is going on, and it's as visible here, or perhaps more visible here, than it is elsewhere right now in the northern latitudes. In the 1350s, we began a solar minimum. It started then, about 1350, lasted 500 years. And at present, the sun is unexpectedly quiet. And it's been that way for much longer than anticipated. As you know, I'm a ham radio operator, and I watch the sun very closely because when we have sunspots, then we have action in the ionosphere, since the charged particles sort of tickle the ionosphere, and then things get really good for ham radio operators, but things are not getting good at all. Now, does this mean that global warming is perhaps no longer a matter for concern? Should the sun remain quiet, we could be in for a warming reprieve. If you believe that whether or not there are sunspots affects the climate, I'm not sure. I don't think any of us are sure, but it certainly will not stop greenhouse gas emissions. So that if we go through a big solar minimum, if the sun has that kind of an effect on the Earth, then let's think about it for a moment. Everybody's going to breathe easy, aren't they? But then, someday, the sun will get active again, higher than ever in concentrations. So all of a sudden, we're going to have disastrous quick warming. According to NASA, the sun is at the deepest solar minimum in 100 years. In 2008, there were no sunspots observed almost 75% of the time. That's incredible. To find an earlier time when the sun has been this calm, you have to go all the way back to 1913, and so far in 2009, the sunspots are even less. Solar physicist Dean Presnell says we're experiencing a very deep solar minimum, and sunspot expert David Hathaway agrees this is the quietest sun we've had in almost a century. Quiet suns come along about every 11 years or so. That's a normal cycle. Or the larger one, 22 years, as a natural part of the sunspot cycle. For the 200 years that astronomers have been viewing the sun, peaks of solar activity have always been followed by periods of relative calm. The current solar minimum is part of that pattern, but it's not supposed to be this quiet. Right now, Presnell thinks that sunspot counts will pick up again soon. That's what he thinks. Possibly, he says, by the end of the year, to be followed by a solar maximum of below average intensity in 2012 or 13. Now, that's a conjecture, and there could be a giant one ahead of us. Or it could come true, and the sun could just sort of loll along for the rest of our lives. Imagine if that were to occur, and the Earth were to begin to cool. And get cooler and cooler and cooler. After all, the last time we had something like this, we had a mini ice age. And that would calm everybody down, wouldn't it? As I mentioned a little while ago, we'd get calm. We'd say, global warming, what do they know? It's not warm out there, it's cold. In fact, it's getting really cold. And we would continue emissions. I'm sure that laws would begin to change, that whoever is president would begin to loosen up, if it really got cool, they'd say, well, what the heck, and loosen up regulations, emissions would increase, as they're going to do anyway. I mean, look at India and China. And then all of a sudden, one day, it's going to get warm, and that'd be that. The Large Hadron Collider. We've talked about that on the program before. We've had Dr. Kaku and others who have talked about the Large Hadron Collider, and always we've had, you know, very strong assurances that, hey, Art, don't worry. The Hadron Collider, when they fire it up, it's not gonna be a problem. Yeah, they may create some black holes, but hey, they'll be just little bitty black holes and they're going to blink out in seconds. There's absolutely, positively, definitely no chance of the LHC destroying the planet when it eventually switches on sometime later this year, right? Yeah. And just a few doubts are persuading some scientists right now to run through their figures again, and the new calculations are throwing up a few surprises. One potential method of destruction is that the LHC, the Large Hadron Collider, will create tiny black holes that could swallow up everything in their path, including our planet. In 2002, Robert Cassatio at the University of Lagna in Italy, a few pals reassured the world, said, not possible, because the black holes would decay before they ever got a chance to do any damage at all. Now they're not so sure. The question is not simply how quickly a mini black hole decays, but whether this decay always outpaces any growth. Now let's think about what they're saying there. The question is not simply how quickly a mini black hole decays, but what it eats before it does. So, in other words, create a little black hole, and what if it eats the Earth before it otherwise would have blinked out? I mean, that's what black holes do, right? They consume matter voraciously. Anyway, Cassatio has worked out the figures and says now the growth of black holes to catastrophic size just doesn't seem possible. Or does it? That's not the unequivocal reassurance that particle physicists have been giving up until now. What's more, the new calculations throw up a tricky new prediction in the past. It's always been assumed that black holes would decay in the blink of an eye. Not anymore. Cassatio and company say they expect delay times are much longer, possibly greater than 1 second, possibly as much as minutes. Minutes! Doesn't sound good, right? Waiting for CERN to clarify. And then came another story. You know, it just made this absolutely irresistible to me. In a truly frightening study, physicists at the University of Oxford have identified a massive miscalculation that makes the LHC safety assurances more or less invalid. The focus of their work is not the safety of particle accelerators per se, but the chances of any particular scientific argument being wrong. If the probability estimate given by an argument is dwarfed by the chance that the argument itself is flawed, then the estimate itself is suspect, according to the team. That has serious implications, of course, for the LHC, which some people worry would generate black holes that might swallow the planet. Nobody at CERN has put a figure on the chances of the LHC eating the planet. One study simply said there is no risk of any significance whatsoever from such black holes. The danger is the thinking could be entirely flawed. Entirely, I'm sorry, I shouldn't laugh. But what are the chances of it? The Oxford team say that roughly 1 in 1,000 scientific papers have to be withdrawn because of errors, but generously suppose that in particle physics, the rate is 1 in 10,000. It just gets worse for CERN in its attempt to reassure us that the Large Hadron Collider won't make mincemeat of the planet. So I don't know what to say about this other than I hope they're very, very, very careful. All right, let me give you a quick rendition of as many numbers as I can before we get to break here. West of the Rockies, if you'd like to call in, unscreened open lines, 1-800-618-8255. That's 1-800-618-8255. Remember, let them ring. East of the Rockies, it's 1-800-825-5033. It's amazing how I remember how to do this, even after months and months and months. First-time caller line, area code 818-501-4721. That's 818-501-4721. We have quite a few of those, so just let her ring. Wildcard lines, Did I say we had a lot of first-time caller lines? I guess I am slipping after months. We have, in fact, only one. Wildcard line is area code, wildcard lines, area code 818-501-4109. That's 818-501-4109. And finally, the international line from anywhere in the world, 1-800-893-0903. Once again, 1-800-893-0903. Let them ring. I'll get to you as I get to you, and there'll be no charge beyond that. Good morning, afternoon. I'm Art Bell. Open lines unscreened coming up in a moment. Listen, everybody, I've got a photograph up on the coasttocoastam.com website. They're not allowing it to get any bigger than the small version. At least I can't figure out how to get it bigger. But the photograph that we put up tonight is, well, you'll recognize, of course, Aaron and Asia. And the new face is Anna Lynn. I forgot to mention that. And this also will give you an idea of the difference between things in the Western world and things here in Asia. Anna Lynn was a very fortunate find. She is what we here call a yaya, who is kind of a mixture of a housekeeper and a au pair, you know, a babysitter, if you will, full time. So Anna Lynn comes from Mindanao. And very near, in fact, Anna Lynn, her family is, I guess, knows my wife's family. And so, you know, there's a kind of a connection. And we hired her as a yaya, and she lives here full time, 24 hours a day, has her own room. And we pay her $60 a month. Now, that will give you some idea of the difference in scale between the United States and here. When we first had Asia back in the U.S., I wanted to give Aaron a break, and we looked into somebody who could come for a few hours a day only, you know, just a few hours a day. And as I recall, it was $20 an hour, and we were talking about, what, 5 hours a day? So it was about like $100 a day or something in that of that order. And we never ended up doing that, but it was about $100 a day for 5 hours. And that was after we knocked the price down. So here at $60 a month, and of course we provide food and board and all that. All right, open lines, unscreened open lines coming up right after this. People have really long memories. Somebody asks, whatever happened to Maggie? Little Maggie, who used to do the want to take a ride for you occasionally? That's Noelle in Bryn Mawr, Pennsylvania. Noelle, Maggie's now Big Maggie, and I think is just beginning to get boyfriends and that kind of thing. So that tells you how long it's been. My gosh, a lot of welcome back on the on the Fast Blast. Thank you very much. Good to be here, of course. And one other thing, somebody asks about ham radio, and am I on the air over here? Well, the first time I got here, of course, you know, I've got all my ham gear here. First time I got here, I went to the roof and I didn't bother to, you know, what is it they say? It's easier to ask forgiveness than permission. And so I went up to the roof late at night and put up my own antenna. It was like a two-night construction process. And it stayed there for 2 months and they never noticed. And every day I was waiting for a knock on the door here. You know, I'm in a condominium here, 19th floor, way up. And I got feeling so guilty about it. I got so tired of waiting for a knock on the door that I finally went down and got the manager, told her, look, I've got an antenna on the roof. Her eyes went wide. I said, maybe you should see it and maybe it'll be okay. So I took her up to the roof and she went, oh my God, you did that? And I said, well, yes, I did. You know, and I obviously had climbed up to the pinnacle of everything. it was quite an affair, and I had to take it down when the first time typhoon came along, and then the board said no, and so I had to, it stayed down. This time, I'm applying, I've written a letter, and we'll see if we can get an antenna up. In the meantime, since I'm on the 19th floor, before I came to Southeast Asia in the Philippines this time, I brought an antenna with me, which I have taped to my window. And you think, well, that's not going to work very well. But up 190 feet in the air, Oh, baby, let me tell you, it works pretty well. And I'm in the process of getting my license renewed, so I'll do some VHF, UHF work and simply pray that the board will see it my way and allow me to put up an HF antenna. But, the hopes are small. All right, on to open screen, unscreened open line. Let's begin. Where do you want to begin? Let's begin with, I don't even know what line this is. Let's see. I guess it would be the first time caller line. You're on the air, I hope.
Hi there, Art. I just want to say you're the best, and I want to talk about all the people like Gerald Celente and Alvin Toffler and Alex Jones and Robert Young Felton. I think there are
certain... That's too much to talk about. I mean, can you lump them all together, sort of?
Yeah, I can. I think there are a certain group of people, and I think they should be on the show all the time and a lot more, and they provide a certain credibility and a certain way of life and thinking.
Well, what is it specifically that you like about them?
They're just so cool and they're so truthful. And I think they're the intellectual spearhead of reality. And they cut through all of the sort of cock and bull, kind of left and right birds of the same wing, mentality.
All right. I want you to be very careful to delineate between cool and absolutely right on. And I don't mean to detract from any, he mentioned many, I don't want to detract from anybody's credibility, but there's cool, and then there is accurate. And again, I don't detract from anybody's particular credibility or lack of it. It's just that a lot of people confuse them. And a lot of people, when they hear somebody that they think is cool, that person's got to be right, because their delivery is so cool. Well, it doesn't always work that way. This, I think, would be West of the Rockies. Hello there. You're on the air.
Well, hi, Art.
Howdy.
I have reached the iconosphere. How cool.
Yes.
Well, I was actually wondering about that antenna that you had there on the roof, and you told the story. So, the thoughts go faster even than the radio signals, I guess, huh?
That's true. Milenio was the typhoon that did me in. It was approaching the island. I had about 160 feet of wire up there attached to the red blinking lights warning aircraft.
Oh, man. So the aircraft knew before the apartment manager. That's funny. Well, a few years ago, as a matter of fact now, and by the way, I'm listening on KKOH out of Reno, Nevada, 780 AM, the home of Ross Mitchell.
That's
and
right.
I'm in the middle of Mendocino County, California. So, I'm fascinated by AMDXing and all that you've talked about. And a couple of years ago, I asked you when the Art of Antennas was going to come out, and I'm willing to send the advance to 4755 P.O. Box in Pahrump, Nevada, or wherever you may be. I really am interested in that, and I think there's a lot of techno geeks out here that would love to see you put something out like that. You've done so many things that have really advanced all the stuff that we listen to this day. I appreciate it. And of course, your on-the-air work goes without saying, but the things that you've done, I believe, in educating us on things like the Hubble. I can't thank you enough for all that you've exposed us to. And by the way, my sister works for Mattel, and I've talked to her about putting out a ham radio Barbie so that young women will get interested in that, as you asked a few years ago, to advance that concept and bring back the CERT and the REACT people so that we've got an emergency network that
all right, well, here's something for you to contemplate. As I mentioned, I've got an antenna up for VHF, UHF. Listening to 2 meters here, about a third of the people on the air here are on 2 meters are women.
Wow.
It blew my mind. So I'm not sure why that would be here, why so many women would become interested in amateur radio here but not there. That's just the way it is, so...
Well, I could say something like maybe they don't have as good a telephone service, but I don't know. I do hope you put out a book, man, on the Art of Antennas. I really am looking forward to seeing that.
Well, I'm not that much of an expert. I do have a monster of an antenna back in the States, and if you want to get a look at it, I think you can put in my call letters, W6OBB, W6 Ocean, Boston. Put that in Google, it'll bring up a picture of the monster antenna back there. I think it may be one of the largest, maybe the largest domestic amateur radio antenna in the United States, maybe even in the world, who knows? I said amateur radio, not the biggest antenna, period. So, and one more note, P.O. Box 4755, the old P.O. Box I used to get in Trump is no longer active, so please do not send anything there. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Good morning. Hello? Going once, going twice, gone like the wind. And going now to another wildcard line, you are on the air. Good morning.
Good morning. Is this Art Bell?
It is indeed, sir.
Art Bell, I'm calling from Fresno, California. This is Al. I'm just calling to ask and see if you could kind of guide us and let us know what do you see in the future in Mexico and the United States regarding the drug violence and all the drug cartels killing each other at the U.S.-Mexican border. What could you tell us about that?
It's not going to stop.
It's not going to stop?
Simple as that. No, it's going to get worse.
Too much.
The more the governments, theirs and ours, crack down on it, the worse it's going to get, I'm afraid. And as long as there's an appetite for drugs in the U.S., they're going to continue to propagate their way across the Mexican border, and the violence is going to increase the harder they crack down.
Too much cocaine coming in, right?
It's not just cocaine. It's every manner of drug you can imagine. Oh, yeah, sure.
All righty. Well, I just called to ask and see what was going on. And thanks a lot.
You're very welcome, sir. I wish I had better news. But no, it's going to continue. As long as the appetite remains, which it will in the U.S., then yes, it will continue. And by the way, a couple of things that I kind of missed with you all would be the financial crisis. I talked to you at the beginning of the financial crisis. Looks as though it's kind of leveled out, right? Same way it looked before the Great Depression. So don't rule out part two. And then there's the flu, and everybody's sort of relaxing now, despite the death in New York, the news of the death in New York this morning. Everybody's kind of relaxing. Well, you know, it looks like just a regular old flu. Saw a possible reference to the fact that it might be mutating in Mexico. There was a quick article that disappeared. I'm not sure if that's true. I guess none of us are. The flu as well is something that I think may be back in the fall, and I'm sure you've heard that from others. That's the way it happened in 1918. It began just like the swine flu. It began, but they don't like the swine flu. They like H1N1, right? It began in the spring, and there were some relatively serious and then many mild cases as well that kind of went away. You know, summer came and came back with a vengeance in August. And I think between August and November, millions died. So you can't rule out that possibility. Well, I see we're getting challenged a little bit here. It's suggesting to me that the link to the server is down. Now, maybe it isn't. Maybe that's a false message. Let's try and answer a line and see if it works. Wildcard line? No, apparently they're serious. Apparently the link really is down. All right, well, if that's the case, back there in the studio, simply take one of the wildcard lines and put it on the air for me. And wildcard line, good morning. You're on the air.
Hello, Art. Thank you very much. And I'm glad to hear you again. And I want to thank you for being an open lines kind of guy. I mean, open lines, but, you know, no screen callers.
Right.
I believe that that's the only thing that's holding George Norrie back from just blowing the doors off Rush Limbaugh during the day. I believe if he goes to open lines, you was open lines all them years, and look how far you went with how many stations you went. I predict he's going to do that too.
I disagree with you about blowing away Rush Limbaugh because, for a whole lot of reasons, but primarily because the show I'm doing right now, despite the fact that I'm doing it 1:51 in the afternoon here in the Philippines, is not the kind of show that you do during the day. It's the kind of show that has to be done at night. The mood is a night mood. The mood is, it has to be dark out, you know?
I'm not talking about competing with him on the subject. I'm talking about competing him on stations, the amount of stations that you have.
Oh, I see. Well, Coast is way up above, I don't know what the latest figures are, but way up above 500 stations. That's a lot of stations. That's, yeah, you know, well, pretty much blanket coverage. Where are you again?
I'm in Anchorage, Alaska.
Anchorage.
One of your old stomping grounds here.
Oh, yes.
You know, I would love to see you read Three Magic Words by U.S. Anderson. And that's going to blow the doors off you. It's just going to blow your mind. When you get to the end, you're going to say, damn, I didn't know that. You know? For one. For two is, you know, I was in the Philippines for 4 years.
Oh, you were? Where?
Clark Air Base. And,
okay.
I'm going to tell you what. Nothing gets things accomplished like greasing a few palms. And it doesn't take a lot. 100 pesos here, 100 pesos there. And you know what? You can do just about anything you want, you know? So
no,
you want
this, yeah, this gentleman is absolutely, I didn't mean to cut you off, sir, sorry. This man is absolutely correct. There is a great deal of corruption here. So much so that it is a way of life. It's actually how the system works. And it's preventing the country from obtaining the kind of progress that it should be making. You know, if you look at the other Asian countries and how they've done, from South Korea to Japan to China to Taiwan to now even Vietnam, the Philippines should be making more progress. It should be a richer nation than it is. And the reason, one of the reasons certainly, is because of the corruption here. But the man is right. I mean, it works both ways. If you want to get something done and you understand how it works, then believe me, it gets done. Let's go east of the Rockies and say, good morning, you're on the air.
Hi, Art.
Hi, howdy.
This is Louie from the great WABC in New York, 50,000 watts.
77 WABC, yeah.
Yeah, Art, how you doing? Nice to hear you again. It's been a while. Hey, listen, I just have more of a comment here about mankind, and I just feel so sorry for ourselves. I mean, all the strife going on in the world. Everybody's bickering with each other, Art. And I really miss you because you're a great voice on the air. And when you were on the air, I felt more comfortable. I feel like I can cope with life a lot more with you on the air. I hope you come back soon. But it was just a comment that general picture, Art, it's just terrible mess out there. And I think we need something to really wake us up, the whole world I'm talking about. And I'll just hang up and listen to your comments, Art. And I love you and take care, Art.
Take care, my friend. You know what? I do have some comments. And they, after having just made the comment about the degree and depth of the corruption here, there's another comment I want to make. We all know about the violence going on in Mexico and elsewhere right now. And I would like to say that that stuff isn't happening here. Oh, yes, I know. You can look in the net and everybody says, whoa, I'm really scared of the Philippines. People get their heads chopped off. Well, down in the very southern part of Mindanao, around an area, Jolo Island in that area, a very tiny area at the bottom, there are some Al-Qaeda operatives. But other than that, this has got to be one of the most peaceful, generally nonviolent countries in the world, and it's difficult to understand, or maybe it isn't so difficult to understand. The people here, two-thirds of them survive on $2 a day U.S. or less. Think about that. Two-thirds of the people here survive on $2 a day or less. That's poverty at a level that we can't begin to understand. We talk about poverty in the U.S. The poverty here is unbelievable. And yet the people here are as happy as they can be. The level of violence is low. The level of respect for elders, for older people, is very high. In fact, the respect for others generally is very high. We'll have to talk about this more as time goes on and sort of reason it out. And, oh, there's one more thing. Maybe it bears on it, maybe not. The distinction between church and state here doesn't even exist. I'm Art Bell.